foster parents are urgently needed to provide loving homes for children. Remy Vista Foster Family Agency provides professional social workers, monthly training, and financial support in a Christian-based atmosphere. Open your heart and your home to a child that needs you. Contact Remy Vista Foster Family Agency here in Chico at 893-4784. That's 893-4784. And make a difference in a child's life today.
Kathy Sewinvac is Chico's sewing machine and vacuum authority, specializing in parts, sales, and service. Family owned and operated for over 35 years, Kathy Sewinvac has a huge inventory and knowledgeable staff to take care of all of your sewing and vacuum needs. Stop by Kathy Sewinvac today on Cohasset Road across from Kmart. That's Kathy Sewinvac, Chico's sewing machine and vacuum authority.
Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way
to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Is there a heaven? Oh, yeah. It's the place dreams come true.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Oh, welcome to the big show. My name is Jerry O'Lennon. So glad you could join us. Last night I had the pleasure. It was very exciting. Ron Paul, presidential candidate, was in Chico last night, spoke at Chico State. And it was a standard stump speech, lasted about 40 minutes. The crowd, very supportive. They're about estimated crowd, at least by his press people. I don't think there were this many there. A spokesperson said there were about 6,000 people there. I'm not sure there were that many. I would estimate maybe on the generous side, maybe half of that, maybe a little bit more. But there was still a large crowd, and it was very, very boisterous and very, very supportive of the presidential candidate. And I had a chance to speak with him. And I just found out from my guest today, and he'll be my guest tomorrow as well, Pastor Donald Jordan of Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Chico, that Ron Paul has a Lutheran background. Is that right?
Yes. Good morning, Jerry, and to all the listeners. Ron Paul's father was a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor, and I believe he had some association with the Lutheran Church for a while as well.
He seems like a very decent man, and whether you agree with his positions or not, he seems very sincere, And he does have a pro-life view, which is very rare for college students to support somebody who is pro-life. I was kind of surprised at that. But he does seem to have a religious – you could sense there's a religiousness to him.
Yes. I think his compassion, mercy, and charity shows forth, even in his tenure as a physician. He was a very compassionate man, tried to help people, and so on. And I believe his Christian faith does come out, and that's expressed, which is an interesting dimension on how religion intersects with the political world. And sometimes it's a little gray area, and we have to make some judgments. But I think in Congressman Paul's position and case, it's true.
Well, it is Holy Week this week, and we're all excited. It started off with the Palm Sunday on Sunday. And I always like saying this because Christ lived our life. I think that's what this week really shows more than anything, that he was really true God and true man. And this is where, in my view, his real humanness comes through, his real humanity, where we really can say we can relate to him and he can relate to us because he was one of us and he experienced things that we experience every day. I mean, he was a man who was on his high. I mean, in terms of a professional career, if we were to compare ourselves in that sense, he was at the peak of his power on Palm Sunday. And in the matter of 6 days, 4 days really, he's destroyed. I mean, in human terms.
Yes, that's correct. In fact, he was immensely popular when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Great crowds and throngs followed him, the scripture tells us. They waved their palms. They welcomed him as the son of David, and they truly saw him as the Messiah. Now, there was some misunderstanding about that, but I think that's another dimension that really bothered the Sanhedrin and the Jewish rulers because they knew he was so popular, mm-hmm. and they were in a fix now. And that led to a lot of consternation. information. You know, when do we arrest him? When do we take him? When do we deal with him? Because they could have an uprising if they had seized Jesus and took him, which they did eventually, of course. But Scripture tells us they were really in a pickle, which is why they hastily threw together that trial at night, which was an illegal trial, because Jewish law says you cannot hold a trial at night. So there were a lot of factors going on here.
And his followers believed at the time that he was going to be their liberator, but not the liberator the way that, that Christ had in mind, the way God had in mind. They thought in terms of human terms that they, that Christ was going to liberate them from the Roman rule.
Right. And you know what's really interesting, when you read the Gospel of Mark, for example, it seems that the opponents of Jesus, Satan, the evil ones, always knew he was the Son of God. They knew what he was going to do.
Right.
They knew he was going to the cross. And others knew it. Even the Roman centurion who stood at the cross said, truly this man was the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew he was the Messiah. What was interesting is the apostles didn't understand that. And even the women didn't understand that. The inner circle of believers and followers really didn't understand the whole death and resurrection thing, but you're probably right. They looked at him as a political liberator, which was not what he was to be.
And I think a lot of us face this in real life, too. Maybe not a pastor of yourself, Pastor Jordan, but I know a lot of people maybe in the workplace, a lot of people in social circles, a lot of times we look at the Salem witch trials, for example, and we see the people who actually are the ones who are bringing some people down that they're the ones that know the truth, but they're fearful of somebody's power, so it's better just to spread things that they know aren't true and to cast somebody as an evil person to get kind of that mob mentality against somebody. And the way in which that mob turned on Christ, I mean, the very people that were throwing palms in his direction, those same people were yelling, crucify him 3 days later.
Yeah, we don't know exactly who the people were in that whole thing, too, and I've heard that said, which can be true, but it may not be true either. There were those who were among the religious establishment that definitely wanted to take him down, the Sanhedrin, the chief priests, and so on, because he was a threat to them. He said he was going to destroy the temple, take away their livelihood. Now, with the Romans, when you get to Pilate, he didn't really get too excited about Jesus. He really didn't see him as a threat, and even Herod was kind of amused by Jesus, which was interesting. Because Herod Antipas killed John the Baptist and beheaded him earlier, but the governmental authorities were really didn't perceive him as a threat, and it was kind of a just a last ditch effort to say, yeah, go ahead, crucify him, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, he's almost more of a headache. I guess it's because maybe I've watched the film by Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ, and I always sensed that there was that Gibson was trying to almost make an excuse that Pilate was sort of just, you know, he didn't really want to do it. And it, not that he wasn't culpable, but that maybe there was some sort of like excuse for him. Did you ever get that feeling?
Possibly. But here's the real point of all this. When you go back to Scripture in John 10, Jesus said, no one takes my life. I lay it down of my own accord. You know who was in charge? Jesus. He was on his mission. The Father sent him. And that's what's ironic about this whole thing. Everything around the periphery is going on. The crowds, the popularity, the hostility, the plotting, the et cetera, the unbelief. And yet at the same time, Jesus is resolute. He's the calm one. He's the one who has his focus upon the cross, his burial, and his resurrection, which he foretold many times. He told them. How many times did he say, the Son of Man is going to suffer, he will be killed, and the third day he will rise from the grave? He clearly taught that, but they didn't understand it.
I'm speaking with Pastor Donald Jordan of Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Chico. We're going to continue our discussion talking about Holy Week. And I'm mostly interested in the day-by-day goings on of Jesus and his disciples leading up to Easter Sunday, and what was going on, you know, yesterday and today, and what happened tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Bible doesn't talk a lot about that. We will when we come back. Jerry O'Lennon here to tell you about ABC Books. If you like good books but don't like paying high prices, then you should try ABC Books. You save money and get quality new and used books. ABC Books is at the corner of East and Cohasset near Walgreens. Stop in and say hi to their friendly staff. They can show you how you can save 50 to 90% off new and used books. You never know what you may find. Call ABC Books today at 893-4342. 893-4342. ABC Books, where saving money is as easy as ABC. As parents, we know there are many options for the education of our children. Champion Christian School has been in our community since 1991. Because of their caring staff and challenging curriculum, their students have gone on to top colleges and universities, including Baylor, UC Davis, USC, and West Point. Champion Christian School is fully accredited, offering quality academic and athletic programs for grades 7 through 12. Visit them online at ychampion.org or call 345-8008 and make an appointment to visit their fine campus. Champion Christian School, educating champions for Christ.
This is Live Local Talk.
You know, it's back. Thursday Night Market starts again tomorrow. It runs through September. Every other Thursday, it kicks off its 16th season. Tomorrow night, vendors on Broadway between 3rd and 4th Street will set up in the center lane. The primary goals there with the Chico Chamber of Commerce and the Downtown Business Association are the same. Just get people downtown, show off the vendors and downtown businesses. And, you know, there are bounce houses, and it's just a nice community event, especially when the weather's really nice like it is now, and it appears it's going to be tomorrow. It starts at 6 o'clock downtown Chico, Thursday Night Market. One other quick announcement I want to mention. The Purity Ball is coming up on April 14th. That's not Easter Sunday, but the following Sunday at Evangelical Free Church. This is an interesting. It's a father-daughter commitment of the daughter promising purity and chastity leading up to marriage, and the father saying that he's there to be a strong support for his daughter throughout her life as she develops into a young woman. If you're interested in learning more about this, if you have a daughter, you have young girls in your life that you want to make sure they get on the right path as they go into womanhood. You might want to check this out, Evangelical Free Church. They're over on Olive Highway. They're a big church. Everybody knows where they're at. It's April 14th, this Sunday, and you could contact the EV Free Church to get more information on that. It, again, is not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. Of course, this Sunday is Easter Sunday, and I'm bringing on my good friend, Pastor Donald Jordan from Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church, by the way, located at 1355 Hawthorne Avenue. So if you are listening and you are new to the community, or if you're looking for a new home church, this is a church that I frequent occasionally, and it's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. And you could also learn more by calling Pastor Jordan directly at 342-6085. 342-6085 is the telephone number at Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church. So before we get into the agenda of what happened on Holy Week, let's make sure we mention, what are your special Easter Sunday services coming up?
Well, coming up, we have Maundy Thursday Divine Service at 7 p.m., which is the Lord's Supper, the remembrance of Jesus instituting his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. That's Thursday night at 7. On Good Friday, two services, what's called the Chief Service at 12 noon, because that was the time when everything went dark in the mm-hmm. world, when Jesus hung upon the cross. And that's a rather lengthy service, about an hour and 15 minutes, with a sermon, and there's a bidding prayer in there. It's a very devout service. Mm-hmm. Everything is stripped off the altar after Maundy Thursday. The church mm-hmm. will look kind of bare. I'll be wearing a black robe. It's a little bit somber. But I remind everybody, it's not a funeral for Jesus. It's not a funeral because mm-hmm. Jesus is alive. He is risen. But it remembers the great sacrifice that he did in giving his life for our sins. And then Maundy Thursday evening at 7, we have the Tenebrae service. And that's an old Latin word that means darkness. And as that service progresses, we extinguish a series of 7 candles. Then Easter morning, we have a breakfast at 8 o'clock and a flowering of the cross, and then our divine service at 10.
Okay, and if you want more information on Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Chico, give Pastor Donald Jordan a call at 342-6085. Okay, we were talking about the timeline for Holy Week in the what Jesus was experiencing each day. We know we've got through Sunday, Palm Sunday. Monday, it was Monday the day that he just wipes out the temple because they're using it for the wrong purposes.
Yeah, that's correct, Jerry. When you go to the harmony of the four Gospels, you take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, mm-hmm. it's a little bit difficult when you read each in isolation. You have to really put them together mm-hmm. in four columns to determine the timeline. So he cleanses the temple, casts out the money changer and said, this is a house of prayer, not a house of merchandise, which really infuriated a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Then he goes out to Olivet and teaches called the Olivet Discourse, and he had these teachings that he was doing there. And then Tuesday, he was anointed by the woman at the home of Simon the leper, and of course, even back to the temple on Tuesday, he had this interchange with the temple rulers and talked to them about the coming of the Son of Man and pronounced some judgments upon them.
The anointment was Monday.
Well, the anointment was probably Tuesday.
Probably Tuesday.
Yes,
and so that
thinking.
Would have been today. And that was when the woman anointed him with some real nice...
Well, that would have been yesterday since today's Wednesday.
Right.
And today, Wednesday, is actually called Spy Wednesday sometime because we believe that all the plotting started.
Okay.
Judas started his plotting. They were trying to make arrangements. But see, they didn't really know at this point when they would arrest him and so on.
I want to go back real quickly. Monday, is the lesson is obvious. You know, the church is not used for merchandise. It's used for worshiping God. That's a lesson that we could all understand. Mm-hmm. To the layman, Tuesday is interesting to me because the anointing, why is this significant? Because isn't this where Judas got kind of angry because he felt that you're using some fancy...
Yeah, I always joke about this and say the church treasurer gets upset because you're wasting the money and the offerings
right.
on something useless, could have given it to the poor. But that woman, who isn't identified there in Matthew, anointed Jesus, and he said she would be talked about as a memorial because she anointed his body for burial. It was actually a prophecy that she cared for and loved Jesus so much. It was a prophecy of his burial. See, he was tying all this in.
Okay.
And I don't think they understood that it was coming. And even the timeline of this, why did he have to be arrested at Passover? Why did that have to happen at that time? Why not, say, in July or August or September?
Right.
And everything ties together here so well.
Okay, so now we're on to Wednesday, which is Spy Wednesday, which would be today in Holy Week, and this is where Judas does his plotting. We'll continue our discussion with Pastor Donald Jordan today, and he'll also be with us tomorrow to finish up the rest of Holy Week and go day by day, step by step with Jesus during Holy Week. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Express Mobile Auto Glass, with over 15 years of experience, Express Mobile Auto Glass provides expert, friendly, and reliable auto glass replacement. Express Mobile Auto Glass is locally owned and operated, licensed and insured, and their work is all guaranteed. They have a large inventory of windshields for speedy and same-day service. Express Mobile Auto Glass, serving Glynn, Tehama, and Butte counties. Call Express Mobile Auto Glass today at 521-9597 for a free estimate. 521-9597.
As parents, we know there are many options for the education of our children. Champion Christian School has been in our community since 1991. Because of their caring staff and challenging curriculum, their students have gone on to top colleges and universities, including Baylor, UC Davis, USC, and West Point. Champion Christian School is fully accredited, offering quality academic and athletic programs for grades 7 through 12. Visit them online at ychampion.org or call 345-8008 and make an appointment to visit their fine campus. Champion Christian School, educating champions for Christ.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Champion Christian School here in Chico, what a fine school it is, has its annual dinner auction. It's a silent and live auction on Saturday, April 28th. It'll take place at Grace Community Church. You can get tickets at Chapmantown Christian directly, or you can call 345-8008. Again, Champion Christian, 345-8008, their annual dinner and auction. A big fundraiser for them, and they're looking for the support. And if you know, I'm one of these people who I don't have a big beef with public schools. I mean, they're okay, but if you've got the money, private schools are so much better, just the way it is. Sorry, you know, but that's just the truth. Not my fault. Walk for Life, Caring for Women Pregnancy Resource Center. Their big Walk for Life is Saturday, May 5th over at Orville Dam. What a great place to have a walk. It's just beautiful over at Orville Dam. Everybody's been there. And to be able to walk for a cause that you care about, if you're one of those who believe that abortion is wrong and you want to make a difference, Caring for Women Resource Pregnancy Resource Center helps women in need who do find themselves pregnant. And they try to help them to make a decision in which it will, which they will keep the child. So those are two good things that you might want to get involved with. And, oh, I should probably give you the phone number for Caring for Women Pregnancy Resource Center if you want to be part of their walk. It's 533-8388. Winding up our discussion today with Pastor Donald Jordan from Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church. He'll be on tomorrow as well. We were up to Wednesday. This is Spy Wednesday.
That's a nickname for it.
I like that.
Meaning that Judas was plotting. He was going to be the spy.
Right.
And he was the one who would have to identify Jesus, because when you think about this, as you said, Jesus was truly human. Mm-hmm. He just blended in with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a halo on his head. He didn't have a name tag saying, "Hi, I'm Jesus of Nazareth."
Yeah, and I think we just assume, because nowadays we live where everybody's identified everywhere. I mean, this is just, I mean, he's out in the middle of the desert, and he's just, he looks like everybody else.
This is a big city.
Yeah.
There's tens of thousands of people there.
Right.
And this is the capital. And how are you going to identify him? So Judas has to do that. And that was this whole plot of how he was going to do that for the 30 pieces of silver. There was the money involved. This is high drama.
What is 30 pieces of silver valued at now? I'm throwing you a curveball.
I'm not really sure, but it was a pretty good amount of money. It'd probably be in the hundreds or thousands of dollars. It was not a pittance in that sense.
Right.
It was worth doing it for.
By human standards.
But the
I
other
suppose.
Thing is, it ties into the prophecies in Jeremiah, that it had to tie into the scriptural prophecy that he would do this for 30 pieces of silver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So scripture all fits with this. So it's really interesting. This plotting, this conniving is going on what's called Spy Wednesday. And Jesus is being anointed by the woman, and everything is leading up now to Holy Thursday.
But now Judas, putting yourself in his shoes, he thinks what he's doing is for the betterment of the world. If you're his defense attorney, Pastor, and you have to defend Judas, which is not a good situation to be in, but what's his best case argument for saying, "I thought I was doing the right thing, God. This is what I thought I was supposed to do, and here's why I did it"?
Well, Judas is a hapless figure. You know what's really interesting? He was the treasurer of the 12.
Uh-huh.
And I really believe that money and greed was the big motivator here. That was it. And, of course, this was all part of God's plan, too, that Satan would enter into him, none would be lost except the son of perdition. In a certain sense, Judas is along for the ride. He's kind of helpless in that sense and gives in to his baser instincts.
Well, did he know that? Because I think if he knew that Christ was going to be crucified, he would not have done it. I don't think he knew that this was what their plans for him was.
Well, you know what? The whole misunderstanding about the crucifixion and so on, it seems apparent that none of the disciples understood this cross and death. That part is very clear, because even Peter protested that. I think you're correct that Judas didn't understand the full implications of this.
Uh-huh.
You know, he protested the anointing because of the money. He saw an opportunity to make a boatload of money by betraying Jesus. He was looking no further than the end of his nose, which is typical of human nature.
Well, what did
sense.
He think was going to happen? He thought that, okay, if I turn him over to the Romans, Romans are going to have a chat with him, talk to him, negotiate with Jesus, and he gets the money for their treasury. What was his expectation? Do we ever fully understand that, or did he even think that far?
I don't think he even thought that far ahead.
Right.
I think he was trying to curry favor with the Jewish leaders. I think he misunderstood Jesus. I think there was some resentment, you know, already some division within the ranks by his criticism of the anointing and so on.
I think there's a tendency for us to think of the disciples, the 12 of them, as, you know, really holy people, but they were just like you and me.
They look good in stained glass windows, don't
yes, they?
Do, we look good on Sunday morning in the service, but we take our clothes off and we're naked. We have warts and pimples and we have failures. These men were abject sinners, just like you and I are sinners even today.
Right.
We might dress up, but we know who we are. We know our evil thoughts, our doubts, our unbelief, and so on. And they're a great example to us in that sense, the frailty. And Jesus is the only steadfast one, the Lamb of God, without sin, who is focused on the cross, and everybody else is doing their posturing.
I think if I was ever to do a film, you know, a film I'd love to see would be just sort of the interaction of with Jesus with his 12 disciples. I mean, they spent a lot of time together walking from village to village and preaching. I mean, we don't hear those stories. What did they talk about? What kind of things did they, I mean, they it wasn't just about scripture. I'm sure they just discussed things that were happening around them. And I my sense on the disciples, on the apostles, they were like maybe kind of a motley crew, perhaps.
Yes.
Just kind of just, you know, ragtag people that just said, well, I'm going to give up. I mean, people that you would see walking, looking out the window right now. Maybe that person's just walking right by.
That's true. And that's how God works. God works through men who have feet of clay, mm-hmm. sinful human beings. And that teaches us something about God's operation, God's gospel, how he's working through all these human circumstances. And I believe when you look at the scripture, the events of Holy Week, nothing is happenstance. It's all part of God's plans. The prophecies come true. The historical figures are all set in place. Even Pontius Pilate is mentioned in our creed. Isn't that amazing?
Yes,
a politician is mentioned in our holy Christian creed. He suffered under Pontius Pilate.
Why is that necessary? Why can't we just say he suffered?
Because Christianity is a historical faith. It's rooted in history. And this is one of the things that Christians really need to take seriously today as we engage in what I call the apologetics of defending the faith, to say there was a man named Jesus of Nazareth who went into Jerusalem. He rode in on a donkey. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was hung on a cross. Those are all historical facts. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what you think about Jesus.
Right. So if you want to try to deny that Jesus existed, that means you would have to deny that Pontius Pilate existed, that Herod existed. And no historian is going to say that, because there is evidence to suggest that those people were alive and around during those times.
Yes. And I believe here's the reality, what you alluded to before, the humanity of Jesus, the realness of all of this. It's gory. It's bloody. It's awful. It's violent. There's tears. There's crying. There's weeping. There's all this drama going on, and yet it was all for us and our salvation, which brings us to the present time, that it's more than stale history. It is for us.
Well, tomorrow is Holy Thursday, and we're going to talk with Pastor Donald Jordan again tomorrow at the same time, same channel, and we'll continue our discussion on Holy Week. Pastor, thanks for being in today. We'll talk with you tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for listening. Well, hope you'll join us tomorrow. It gets more and more interesting, I think, talking to the good pastor. We'll talk to you then. So long.
Holbrook's Clearance Center, the North State's number one furniture liquidators.
Holbrook's Clearance Center sells national name brand furniture at 50 to 75% off retail.
Come in and see unbelievable pricing on dining sets, coffee and table sets, and complete bunk beds.
Holbrook's also carries dressers, recliners, futon, sofa, and sofa love seat combos.
Holbrook's has something comfortable for every room in your home, and we'll sell you the inventory right off the floor.
Holbrook's Clearance Center is everything for your home.
Open 7 days a week.
Jerry O'Lennon here to tell you about ABC Books. If you like good books but don't like paying high prices, then you should try ABC Books. You save money and get quality new and used books. ABC Books is at the corner of East and Cohasset near Walgreens. Stop in and say hi to their friendly staff. They can show you how you can save 50 to 90% off new and used books. You never know what you may find. Call ABC Books today at 893-4342. 893-4342. ABC Books, where saving money is as easy as ABC.